Welcome to the City of Tocqueville's Finance and Governance Committee for August 26th. My name is Deshaun Quinn. I'm the chair, joined by council members Sharp and McConnell. Let's go ahead and get started with business item, agenda item 1A.
Sir, hi everyone. Good evening. David Rosen, Parks and Recreation Analyst. Good to be here today. So what we have in front of you is a pretty quick kind of housekeeping item, if you will. It's our fiscal year 2025 park and fire impact fee updates. Quick background, TNC sections 16.26 and 16.28 established fire and park impact fees, as well as the rules, regulations, policies that surround them. One of those sections for each of those one of the codes for each of those sections talks about the annual increases for those impact fees, and those are officially tied to the construction cost index provided by the Engineering News Record year over year, June to June. What impact fees are used for? They're used for kind of growth paying for growth. So they're a fee that we levy against permits as they're submitted to our DCD department for building a residential building, commercial, sort of any building that takes place in Tocqueville. We levy these fees so it allows us to take into account that impact of that development and hopefully develop, obviously, in response to it, whether it's parks or fire facilities. So what we have this year is construction cost index for June to June for the Seattle area came in at about a 1.65% increase, sort of proposing a 1.65 increase to both impact fee schedules in accordance with that. Pretty short and sweet there, but happy to answer any questions I can.
All right. Councilmember Sharp.
On page 11, there's a chart there. Can you tell me how to do that chart properly? Particulars of the acronym's name.
Oh, sure thing. So that's the ENR Cost Index Engineering News Record. They're the provider of this index itself. They've been around for 100 years or so, and they kind of corroborate all this information together to provide us this index. CCI is the index itself, the construction cost index. It states earlier the components, so lumber, cement, local wages, and then I think structural steel are the four components that go into that index, and they do it based on a couple different metropolitan areas, Seattle being one of the cross. And what you're seeing there is we're just showing the last two or so years of the index increase. June to June is our measurement of the increase that we relate to this inflation increase per year. So just going from June of 2023 to June of 2024, that CCI total point index improved or went up by about 250 points, which is about a 1.6% change. And that's what brought us this increase.
Okay, so based on their data, all the prices as far as the charts show is a 1.6% increase on all of those. Is that what you're saying?
Not exact due to rounding. The way I do it is I take that 1.65, multiply and just round either way to the closest dollar. So It might be 1.68 here, it might be 1.62 there. But
it's based on the number here that these numbers, these other fees,
yes,
the total.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in here it says, is something not a general fund revenue source?
Yeah.
What is it?
So park impact fees go to Fund 301. That's the Parks Capital Advanced Land Acquisition Development Fund. The other one, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Tony, is we've been having that go to the 305 for public safety plan. So it's helping pay for aspects of the public safety plan for the fire construction that was done there. We work with the CFO over at a PSRFA to discuss those. They're aware that that's what those are kind of linked to at this time, but those are the two funds. So no, none of this goes to the general fund.
Okay. And then on here on the recommendation, it says August 5th, 2024. Should that be?
Ooh, did I typo that? I apologize.
September?
Yeah, I believe so. That is a typo there. But yeah, I guess just to be 100% clear, we're asking for consent agenda on, let me double check here, September 16th. My apologies. Yeah, September 16th consent is where we're going with this item.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Of course.
Okay. I don't have any questions. So are we comfortable forwarding this to the September 16th regular meeting? I'll give it.
So, yes.
Yep.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. We'll move on to item 1B, which is the copier lease agreement.
Okay, so since over the last year, in 2022, we did a refinance of a bunch of copiers in the city. And what it was is an extension to the existing lease that we had established in 2017. Due to the lack of use during COVID, we felt it was a you know, understandable risk for us to go ahead and take that due to the lack of use. And so we went in 2022 to refinance all those for an additional 3 years. And so now we're 2 years in, and in that period of time, we've really done pretty well, except this year we started seeing increased maintenance in some of the high use copiers, things like the finance department, the city clerks, public works engineering, and, you know, like the finance department does checks with that. We do utility billing. So there's a lot of high use coming out of that. Another one would be the Parks and Rec department, where we've got flyers and things like that for the different events that they're putting on. So we're just to remove the frustration that the users are experiencing in the city, we're trying to wrap all those four of those copiers up throughout the entire fleet of copiers, just four of them, wrap them up into a new lease, capture that, move it into the next, basically enter into a new 5-year lease with a new copier. They'll give them the sustainability that they need to do their jobs.
Questions, Councilmember McConnell?
I don't have any questions. I'm good with this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Sharp.
Yeah, so Bill, how do we know we're getting a good deal?
Well, everything in state and copiers are based on the state contract pricing. So it's across the board, and whatever is there is the price point that we're
That program that we are sort of, that entity bids for us pricing kind of thing, and we just use their bid thing?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I got, man.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm requesting that this be moved to the consent agenda on September 16th.
Yes, thank you for that. Is everyone comfortable? I don't have any questions.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yep. All right, on to the general fund and expenditure report for July.
Okay, so we're going to follow the same format. I will have a little bit of new information at the end to talk about asylees as well as budget amendments, but let's just start by getting through the information. So our memo starts on page 25 of your packet. We just jump right to the charts, page 26. And so under allocated budget, mayor's office. Well, for the allocated budget, we see the mayor's office is high at $33,000. That's new. And that is for the prior city administrator's payout, separation payout. It was more than $33,000, but that's just the amount that it tipped over the scale. So we haven't seen that before. Going on down to fire, we've heard this about fire before. They've been over all the time. So we've dug into that a little bit more. Nothing's changed other than the fact that, let me get back to what it was. They, when we had our budget for 2023, 2024, they gave us a cost. It turned out that they undervalued, it was just higher than they thought. And so they came last year to city council to explain, hey, they didn't capture right as well as they had more call outs. So back in 23, what they did was they gave us an amended amount. They went in and corrected it on there and then sent it to us. So what we did with that information is we corrected 2023. We did not correct 2024 at that time in 2023 because we would do it since this budget was already passed, 23, 24 was already passed. We would correct the 2024 portion when we do the budget amendment in 2024. So it's kind of interesting that we had the information for 2023. We've been reporting this budget because this was the budget we passed, so we stick with that. But there will be a budget amendment in 2024 to fix that. I say perhaps because when we look at the end of the year, you know, we might be able to absorb about $906,000. We'll talk more about budget amendments at the end. But anyway, that's why we've seen fire out of whack since the beginning of the year. We did get that amendment in 23, but we didn't change the 2024 budget. It was already adopted. So that's just additional information. And then we see non-departmental, $204,000. That's primarily the asylees that are putting us over, and more information on that later. Moving over a column to the percent expended. We have the mayor's office. We know what that is, and city administrator's payout. We have fire. We just talked about that. And so that's that's it. Those are all together. Moving across to the dollar amount changes, finance. So that is insurance liability and it's software implementation. So when we look at that further to the left, we see that they're within the allocated budget. They're under the percentage expended, but that third leg, they paid more than last year, and that's the insurance that's hired last year, and then the software. So it was already assumed, already budgeted for. Coming down to the court. This one's new. We've seen it before, though. It's a revenue-backed FTE that's paid for by the cameras. And then coming down to fire, we've addressed fire already. And I think police is in here somewhere. So police, they're not highlighted, but they're also within allocated budget. They're in the percent expended. But I guess I just noted it because it's $455,000. It's only 3.7%, so it wouldn't qualify. But because that number was so high, I looked into it. It's a variety of things. It's animal control. So the city of Tukwila works with King County on animal control. So there was a large invoice for that. There's insurance liability and then dispatch services. So nothing out of the ordinary. It was just a high number. So I took a look at that. We talked about fire. And so moving on to the expenditures by category. All of the categories are within budget with the exception of the services. And so within services, we've seen these before. So when we talk about professional services, we know what that is. That's the contracted services for the RFA. It's the insurance liability that we've talked about before. Technology services. This one's interesting because although they're above the allocated budget, they are within the percent expended and they're $2,000 over last year, less than 1%, 0.03. So it's not a big amount. It's simply the increase in subscription services. Subscription services is software. There was a time when you used to buy Microsoft Office and it would come on a disk, you put it in the computer, and you would use it for as long as you wanted. Now, it's a subscription service. You get it for a year and then you renew it. So software now is subscription services. So it is slightly more than last year. They're within budget though, but that's what we talk about when we talk about subscription services. We're talking about software. Repairs and maintenance. I think that is fleet operations. And most of the maintenance is on police vehicles, just servicing those. They drive them pretty hard. On the percent to expended side over here, similar stuff. It's the contracted services, fleet operations. Oh, I'm sorry. So let's go to the dollar change, the last column there. The only thing we're looking at is professional development, and that is police training. So we did talk about professional services. We talked about repair and maintenance. So the professional development is the only thing in the middle. Now, I'm going to just keep going to give you some new information, then we'll come back and answer some questions here. We looked at the asylees. The asylees are on the next page. The big news on that is that Brandon secured grant funding for us, and it kicks in as of July. And so although we're looking at $740,000, the bleeding has stopped. And so as of July, these costs are probably going to, most of them are going to be reimbursable. So that's good news because these costs are going to continue, but we have some funding for that. So no more on there. Also, I want to go back and talk about budget amendments now. So we're in the second year of the biennium. We're into the last half of the year. So now we start paying attention to what kind of a budget amendments are we going to have or potentially have. And so far, as we look through these charts, the only two that I see out of them now, but I'm going to start including a section on the report, budget amendments, so we can track those now. Fire is one that we already know of. We've been seeing that all year. And August 25th was the retro payout for the Teamsters. That's been coming for a year and a half. So next month, we're going to see the effects of that on financials, on the department's budgets. It is possible that a budget amendment would be needed for that because this was $2023. Not sure, but just a heads up because we'll see it next month. How I anticipate that to look is that it would hit the individual departments, and then because they weren't in their initial budget and it's citywide, we would roll that into non-departmental, which we've been reporting the asylee step in, which is primarily for capital, not capital projects, but paying debt, bonds and stuff like that. It comes out of the non-departmental. So more to come on that. That's where I expect to see it. But as of now, those are the only two that I'm thinking of. And also starting next month, you'll see a different section in the report talking about budget amendments. Just so there's no surprise at the end of the year. We will talk about these for three or four months before the end of the year and dissect those and look into them. So just like we've been talking about the same format for everything else, we've heard the same thing over and over. If there's a budget amendment, we will have heard that over and over. So I'll stop there.
I'm sure. Let me start back from the beginning on page 18 for you. It's that first chart.
Yeah.
The little one. And really, I mean, you don't even need to stare at the numbers. It's about 906,000 and change there that the fire department is off.
Yeah.
It's almost $1 million. That means that they somehow miscalculated almost $1 million as far as what they proposed to us. I should read that.
Yes. But it was not in 2024. It would be in 2022. So in 2022, we got these numbers from them for 2023 and 2024. So they did, yes, to your, the direct answer is yes to your question. We're talking about how it happened. 2022, they're looking ahead. They realized in 2023 that their number was off.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave us an amended number in 2023. We do budget amendments only once a year.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2023, we fixed it. So even though in 2023, we knew about the 2024, sounds like we didn't make the change in 2024 because we would change that when we do a budget amendment once a year.
So we can't adjust until we do the budget amendment.
Oh, we can, but we don't. Here's a couple reasons why. Mm-hmm. We take this budget to council, and council approves the budget. So we don't make changes to that budget without going back to council.
Sure.
Now, we don't want to go to council to do a budget amendment in June and then come back and do another budget amendment in November.
Mm-hmm.
We would wait till the end of the year to capture all the amendments, as well as sometimes we think we might need an amendment, but we don't because the other departments absorb that.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't come to council until we need the amendment. We don't change the budget without going to council first.
Of course.
Okay, and then we only go to council once a year.
Sure.
To talk about the amendment.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't implying that you guys do a workaround or anything. I was just, my question then is, going forward, are we going to see the actual number or are we going to get another amendment thing that happens next year? Because, like, it costs what it costs. Like, we're in it now. I can't get out of it. The question really is will we see this next year or the year after or anything like that? Because, like, I know we have to pay for this. And there's no way of getting out of it. But, like, do we know what their true numbers are now as of today?
So next year, well, we know what the true number is for 2024. For 2025,
mm-hmm.
Fire will be gone. It's RFA. So the fire will be billing the taxpayers, so we won't see it.
Okay, so we won't have to deal with that, except the residents will when they see their bill.
Yes.
And then how as far as in your experience, this kind of mistake, how does that get done? How do they make a mistake that big? Well, what did they tell you? I mean, I know you're not responsible,
but
what's the reasoning for being almost $1 million off?
Yeah, overtime is one, and the number of call-outs that they had is another one. And so historically, when we've had fire here, we had trouble managing the overtime. And so we thought by they would have a better job. They're getting their arms.
Okay, so it's a challenge for them too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then animal control, they bill us, we pay them.
Yes.
How does the bill get split? Is it based on how many animals they retrieve within the Tukwila facility rent limits, or do they got a bill that they have at the end of the year and says, Tukwila, we're looking for your X amount of percent?
Good question. I'm not 100%, but I can tell you I did see that invoice, and I can tell you. What is it with one invoice? I think it's just a contract amount, not by animals, but.
Like calls is what I mean, though. You know, like if they had more activity here in Tukwila, we pay more, or is it a fixed percent of their overall bill?
Yeah, I'm not sure of the breakdown of it. So
next time.
Yeah, but
I'd love to know how we get billed on that one. I mean, it's not gonna. I'm not gonna lose sleep over it. I'm just curious on how they break it and how they pay it out.
And that was the first time I saw animal control, so first time I told you so far
good on that. And then the last question is on the United Methodist Church reform thing. So he scored us some cash for the city of Tukwila. We've already paid that money out as of $740,000 or so, right?
Yeah.
So if we get an influx of cash, like, we already spent the money, so how does the money look when it's factored in here? Like, because you can't go back in time and pay that stuff. We already ate that money.
Yeah.
So is that just, we just sits in an account, or how does it get paid out?
So this money historically that's been paid out is already paid out.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, when we use grant funding, that will be paid from the grant.
Okay, so
we're not going to use grant funding for that.
Okay, because we already spent that.
Yeah.
So it's not like we can reimburse anything in the past. That laborer and that pay, that check's already been sent. So that now we're like at, what's the number that we're going to get about?
What's the number again?
So it's $500,000 to pay for our costs from July 1st onward. We have the grant totally, or the funding allocation is $2.5 million,
mm-hmm.
but $2 million has to be used for housing. $500,000 can be used for our direct costs from July 1 onward. We are going to bill the state from all of our costs from July 1st that we have expended. So we paid it out just like any grant. You pay it out, and then the grant reimburses you. The state has said, even though we're not under contract, we will get reimbursed for anything from July 1st onward. So that money, Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, that would just be go back into the general fund,
yes.
And would just be part of our ending fund balance. So we are going to get some of it back. We're not going to get anything back before July 1st. With that said, there is a slight chance, and like I say, very slight. There's a FEMA grant that we've submitted for with the state of Washington, and that allowed us to go back to October of 2023 to put our costs in. We've requested reimbursements from that, but there's no guarantee we're going to get that grant.
Of course, I wouldn't hold you to it anyway until I see that check in hand.
That's what I say too.
Yeah. So that just means when we get the $500,000 to change or whatever it is, it just puts the 740 number into 240 now. It's just 240. And we're only, and then you said you're going to potentially get some money. Does it actually cover, is it going to be about 240 to where we're like breaking, like we broke even on the deal, or is it going to be less? Or?
It could be.
Okay.
It could be. We put in all of our costs, that our staff costs, or the cost of the tents. We put all of that going back to October. We will have to do some reallocation because we couldn't double charge. We couldn't charge the state and the county or the feds for the same thing, but all we would do then is we would have money that we would just rearrange to make sure we squeezed every ounce out of that that goes grants. So,
okay. Thank you.
Okay, so in finance, the software implementation. Can you explain that one a little bit? I know we have a new tool,
yeah.
Right?
And so Finance Enterprise is the tool,
mm-hmm.
and we roll out modules. APAR, utility billing, payroll. As we roll out the modules, we then pay for those. And so what we're seeing here is payroll module as well as utility billing are the two major ones that we're rolling out.
And when will the implementation be completed?
Yeah, good question. We have been doing this implementation for 2 years. The majority of the implementation would be done by 2025, so this year and next year. And then other small rollouts will happen, like the purchase orders, contracts, or smaller things. But the major implementation, so what we're talking about is accounts payable, accounts receivable, cashiering, utility billing, payroll, and purchase order module. Also within payroll, we have a position control, so those seven or eight. Cashiering, if I didn't say that, are the main reporting. Those are the main.
And most of it will be done next year, 2025.
Yes, most of it's done now. The concluding 2 to 3 modules will be in 2025. So we're starting them in 2024, and then we're going to 2025. A couple of things that are delaying this is that payroll needs to be 100% right. Unlike accounts receivable, accounts payable, those are things that we can roll out and then we fix the bugs, we address the known issues, other things we have workarounds, but payroll has to be right 100%. You can't fix bugs when people's pay is wrong. Also, utility billing is similar to payroll in that we have so many customers in utility billing, we can't misbill them and say, oh, we're working on a new system. So that has to be 100% right. So while we rolled out some modules maybe before they were ready to get them going, work through it, we need to be 100% sure on those. So that's what's taking longer for those two. Those are the two main ones that are left. You know, we're currently running two payrolls right now, old system, new system. That's how we've tested.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're not the same, we know it's the new system, it's the old system. Utility billing will be that as well.
Okay. And Councilmember Sharp asked a lot of good questions on the fire department that I was wondering about as well. I think that was it. That's all I have. Thank you.
Just a couple questions. One, just kind of following up Councilmember Sharp's question. I believe it's per capita, but it would be good to know if we're being charged by every incident for animal control.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Is there any kind of adjustment in the approach? But I believe this is the one time where per capita actually benefits us. It counts to, 20,120 people, and then the 50% versus, you know, you get a, we'll charge you for the 150,000 data that you talk.
Yeah.
The second question is kind of more, and it's a little bit unfair, but it's kind of fair in that, you know, I shouldn't have to say it, but I've been in the council a while, and seeing different kinds of amendments. And so I'm wondering, from where you're sitting, the philosophy on budget amendments
mm-hmm.
are for really, let me put words in your mouth, but for really kind of, I could see something that has consistently come up. We had a labor agreement. Regardless, we have to honor the labor agreement. And most of the time it happens potentially in an off year. Second is obviously reimbursable costs. That makes sense for the Riverton.
Yeah.
But for the most part, do you take a conservative approach to things that you would come back to council to ask for additional authority for a budget?
Yeah. So examples would be if a department is running over budget with their technology purchases. So court had to buy 3 more laptops. They have a small budget already. Chances are we're not going to come to council and ask for a budget amendment for that because it can be absorbed within the budget. Also, when we talk about the departments, you know, it rolls into the general fund. And so oftentimes we will look to see if can that be absorbed within the fund itself. So back to what you were saying is, what would we come to you with an amendment for? One is the not just the labor negotiations, that was the cause. The effect, though, was the payout that we planned on 2023. Mm-hmm. So it was budgeted in 23, not 24. And that's just, you know, $1 million-ish. So that's one cause. Grant-related stuff, since it's reimbursable, we're not just getting permission. It's revenue-backed, but we bring it to your attention. But let's just talk about supplies and services. We would probably look to absorb that. I can't imagine capital because that would be budgeted for. We wouldn't just come up and buy a vehicle and then ask to be reimbursed. So, yes, it's going to be primarily just a few things we talked about here. Labor negotiations. Fire is the third one that
mm-hmm.
we knew about a year ago, but we just do it once a year. So I don't anticipate other budget amendments coming, but towards the end of the last quarter is when we start looking at it critically and bringing up whatever it is. So right now we're thinking labor negotiations, the retro pay, and fire. But as of now, it's on there. So for example, the asylee thing we've talked about, there's some costs that we may not get reimbursed for. We're looking at like $700,000 or something. We would look to absorb that. I don't see us coming to you for an amendment for that.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to get your, from your perspective, kind of your
your approach to it, and just knowing in the past we had, whether it be the season of the hotel purchases, which wasn't in the budget, to Tallahatchie Dam, like those things come up. But if we know going into it, you're going to be conservative, then we can be pretty critical about what comes before us. So
yeah,
thank you for sharing that.
And thank you.
And one question. Absorption. You said it many times. What's the ballpark absorption mean? It's like, we're going to absorb it. What does that mean?
Well, it means that we're not...
We're going to eat it, but like, how does... What does that look like?
So what it looks like is one fund is under budget by $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
Another fund is over budget.
But it's in a different department or something?
It's in a different department, but it's in the same fund.
Sure.
So yes, it is in a different department, but that's how we absorb it. So just to say a little bit of history, we adopt the budget at the fund level, the general fund. However, responsible management is to hold each individual department accountable for their own budget. But fire, police, finance, DCD, these are all departments within the general fund. We need to balance at the fund level. And so we don't like to horse trade from one department to another, but before we came to you with an amendment at the fund level, we would look to see if we can absorb that within the fund.
So just for a quick example, I'm in one department, you're in the other. I need to fund this thing. I'm over budget a bit. You just go to Tony and say, hey, we're going to do sort of a wire transfer in between departments. And then do you have a choice? You're like, no, man, I'm going to keep that money. Or is it just who makes the call on whether that money moves from one pocket to the other?
Yeah, so the department directors are expected to manage their own budget.
Mm-hmm.
So there is not really the source trading. You come to me and find us. That's at the city administrator and the manager, the mayor's level. So if I'm not responsible with my budget,
mm-hmm.
It's not that I go to DCD and ask them, but just as the fund, we're not going to be over budget. So it's not that casual. The expectation is that you are within budget. And if you're not, then you're having conversations with the city administrator.
I see.
With the mayor. And then...
So the city administrator and the mayor get together and say, hey, man, this department's a little bit, but we have some over here. We're going to go ahead and pull here, stick in there. Is that
essentially how... Yeah, so we don't pull from one to another. So,
but
because it's at the fund level, we don't have to pull from one to another. We could say, you're over, but these guys are under, so the fund itself is going to be...
Oh, you mean like the pile of cash is still there. So I, since I'm over budget, I just reach into that pile a little bit more to cover my expenses.
Well, you don't cover them. You're still over budget. So what happens is you've overspent.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to just take the money to make your whole self whole. You come in the end of the year overspent. And everyone sees you've overspent.
Okay.
But at the fund level, we're still okay. Even though you overspent, the rest of us were...
You had to carry me. Got it. Thank you.
Hypothetically.
Yeah. It actually came up in even a more negative way in the past, where fire took no CPI, but everybody else did. So then they had to cover the cost of everybody else, which is never what you want, because then you have general fund folks hitting core safety services against one another. So that's why it is a conversation. But then at the administration level, there is that accountability factor. Plus, we all see you overspent.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look at your budget the next year and say, what is your consistent problem? And that's, we've been there with fire, like, chief. How is it year after year after year you end up, and that costs from other pots, and at the end of the day, it actually comes from other services that the community could receive, but because you couldn't keep your budget in place. So I've seen it work at the most negative way, and that's the worst place for any of us to be in, because then you're pitting one again.
Yeah, no, we all want to be the same guy.
So, cool. All right. We'll come to the end of the agenda. All right.